It's kind of a continuation of Pastor Sonny's message, and I felt whenever he was talking, and I had some questions afterwards to talk about a few things. But other than that, I never had an inspiration to preach today. I didn't have an inspiration to preach the Lord. I don't know if you've ever, Sonny probably knows, it's like that inspiration just like, it's welling up within your gut, you know, that you just got to let it out. I never got that this week. Usually I get that, and I didn't get it this week. And so it was like, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? So this is going to be similar to what the church used to do a long, long time ago. They would open up the scriptures, they would open up the Torah, and they'd read. Then they would discuss, and they would talk. And so that's similar to what we're going to do today. I just want to open up the scriptures in Revelation 4. And just, I'm going to read through Revelation 8, verse 6. And I'm going to talk about a few things in there. But there were some questions about, well, what about the trumpets? What about the seals? What about the bowls? What about these things? The things that are going to be coming on the earth. How many are going to be here during that time these things are going to be coming on the earth? Very good. I don't want to see no hands. You got the message last week. All right. So I just want to open up the scriptures today. You know, when you don't feel it within your spirit, the Word of God is in your spirit. This Word is alive and active. Even in the book of Revelation, that people are afraid to read. But listen to this. The first three chapters are about the churches or the church ages that were established from the church when it started and how they went through these last 2,000 years. We are in the Losedanian church. We are in that place of lukewarmness. We're in that place of where we come from. We're in the victory side. We're in the victor side. And we get complacent was the word I was looking for. Travis brought that to my remembrance. We get complacent in the place of victory. We are in that lukewarm church. We are in that season. That is the last church before Christ's return. So, chapters 1, 2, and 3 talks about the churches, talks about what they were dealing with, what they would deal with, what they would go through. And so, chapter 4 says this. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. How many would love to hear that voice? Would you want to hear the thundering voice of God? Of the angel? Come up here. He's on the island of Patmos. He's in a cave. He's kind of in a bad place. And the Lord says, come up here. Wouldn't that be the voice of the rapture of the church? Come up here, the trumpet of voice of the Lord. Possibly, huh? Possibly could be the... It says, verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit. Immediately he was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat on there was like a jasper and sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thundering, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. What are the seven spirits of God? Huh? 11:2. Exactly. Here's what it says. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Seven spirits that rest upon him. The Spirit of the Lord representing the overreaching divine presence and sovereignty of God. The spirit of wisdom, the ability to discern and make godly decisions. The spirit of understanding, the capacity to comprehend spiritual truths. The spirit of counsel, divine guidance and ability to give or receive wise direction. the spirit of might, the power and strength to overcome spiritual challenges, the spirit of knowledge, a deep, intimate awareness of God's truth, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord, a heart of reverence, awe, and submission to God. These seven spirits would rest upon Jesus. The seven spirits should rest upon us as well. Because where is his spirit? Where does his spirit reside? Within us. And if he has the seven spirits, right? The seven spirits, then they are in us. Characteristics of him. The awe of the Lord, the sovereignty of God. Submission to God. Are we submissive to God? This is where we need to be. You know, we talked about the 10 virgins, and I've used that a few times in the last couple of weeks, but all the virgins had lamps. They all had oil to start the fire, but they begin to flicker. Five begin to flicker because the unwise did not carry oil. Why wouldn't they carry oil? What's that mean? That means they were complacent in their place of victory. They were complacent in a place of victory. We've already won. We can sit back. You know, people leave the game like in the fourth quarter. You're ahead 20 points. People leave the game. Now they're going to win. Next thing you know, somebody comes back and wins. Right? So we can't be in a place of complacency. It goes on, it says, verse 6, before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like the lion, the second living creature like a calf, and the third living creature that had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes all around them, and they did not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And over and over it repeats it, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things by your will they exist and were created." And if you look at the four living creatures, as you look at the wings and the full of eyes and basically the face of a lion and face of a calf, and the third living creature had a face like a man, you know, and an eagle, there's so much thing about creation. It goes on in verse or chapter 5, and it says, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open up the scroll and loose its seal?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept. So John wept because there was no one worthy to open up the scroll, looking across the sea of heaven, looking across the sea of the earth, looking under the earth. There is no one worthy to open up the scroll except for one. He wept because there was no one worthy. Excuse me. It says, verse 4, "So I wept because no one was found worthy to open, read the scroll, or look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose it, its seven seals.' And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the altar stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." Who sat on the throne? The Father himself. He walks up to the Father and grabs the scroll. Where am I at? Verse 7. Then he came and took the scroll out of the hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." From victory. Verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever." That's amazing what it talks about under the earth. As I stop there just a moment, who is he talking about? What's under the earth? Even the demonic realm know. Even the demonic realm know that he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. They know that he is. They know that he is the victor. They're just trying to push it off a little further. They're going to jail. They're going to be captive. They're going to be gone. They're going to be terminated eventually. It said, verse 14, then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Now it says the first seal, verse 6, it says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him." Some say that's a victor's crown. "And he went out conquering and to conquer." Who is on the white horse? Antichrist. He is the first horse that will be brought out. He is the Antichrist. He will probably be the Mahdi of the Muslim religion. He will be one that will say that he is going to bring peace, but he's going to bring a sword. He's going to bring war. But it does not say that he has arrows in his quiver. It just says he has a bow. He does not have any arrows to fight. He is not the victor. But he is the Antichrist that is coming. Is he here yet? He is not here yet. Well, I'm not saying he's not here yet. He has not came to power yet. He's not been revealed, absolutely. So I would say that he's here, because the Bible tells us that there is the spirit of Antichrist all throughout the scriptures. It talks about the spirit of Antichrist. It's been here. The spirit of Antichrist has been in the earth for a long, long time. The Bible tells us that. And he will be revealed when it is time. And then he is the first seal that is opened. He is on the white horse. We have not seen that yet. But I believe he is alive and well in the earth right now. Because we are approaching that end time mark rapidly, faster than you can even imagine. In the next couple years, you're going to see things that we've never thought about seeing before. How many go to Kroger's and see that robot walking around or rolling around scanning? Yeah, it talks to you, doesn't talk to you, but it says BB sound on what it says. But I asked some people, they were like 70 years old, it was mom and dad and them and you guys, and I was like, you ever think this would be in your day? It's like, absolutely not. I didn't think that would be in our day. Verse 3, when he opened the second scroll, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that the people should kill one another. And there was given him a great sword. Listen to that. Do you want to be here when the red horse is opened up? That means people in the street will be killing people. It will be no big deal to kill someone. Their life means nothing. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. But it's coming rapidly. Verse 5, when he opened up the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come up and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil or the wine. Do not harm the oil or the wine. That is financial. Oil or the wine. It's also spiritual. Oil and wine. But that is financial market. But there will be no food for you. You'll be gone. Because every one of you said, we won't be here. This is what's going to take place to the ones that we do not witness to. This is what's going to take place to our sons and our daughters that do not believe in Christ. This is what's going to take place to our co-workers and friends and family that do not understand the redemption of Christ. They do not take on Christ for themselves. This is their lot, should I say. If they do not receive the blessed hope of Jesus, if they do not receive Him, live for Him and obey Him, this is their lot. It's up to us to share the gospel. It's up to us to share the good news to people because they are going to face this. At some point in time, when the church is taken out, these people are going to face this truth. Do we believe this is the truth of God? This is the word of God, the truth that is spoken by God Himself? If it does, then that means that when these scrolls are opened and the seals are opened, that means that these things are going to take place in the earth to our friends and our family that do not believe. That maybe think that you're a Bible thumper, that maybe think that you're just all holier than thou, that they don't want nothing to do with you. Somehow we got to breach that place of missing, like we're better than them. We got to breach that place of giving them understanding that God is for them, that we got to pray for them. We got to act out in the Spirit of God in our life to show the true nature of who God is so we can bring those people into the fold of the kingdom of God. Verse 9, when he opened up the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for their testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judged and avenged our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. There's going to be a mass slaughter of people that are going to come to know the Lord in the tribulation period. There's going to be a mass slaughter of those people that are going to be slain for their belief. So if we explain the gospel to our friends and they don't receive, we get caught away up in the rapture of the church. And now they're in the earth and the seals have been opened before them. Oh, Erica was right. Where's Erica? Something happened. Where's Ralph? Something happened. Now I better look and see what the Bible says because it must have been true. And they're going to be the ones that will either have to die for their faith. They'll have to die for their faith. The Bible tells us that maybe they'll have their heads cut off. We started seeing some of that. What was that? When was that? In was it 18, 19, 8? No, it was in 14 whenever the Egyptian Christians were on the beach. When was that? When they started, ISIS started murdering the Christians over there. I can't remember the year. You guys remember that? Seeing that on TV? happening in Congo right now for their faith. It's crazy. It's crazy. We do not see it here. We are so lucky we do not see this stuff here. But it's coming. It's coming. All right, where am I at? Verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its last figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. There's going to be a mighty shaking in the earth. A mighty shaking in the earth. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? It's not going to be a pretty sight. It's not going to be a great place to live on the earth at that time. All rocks, every mountain would move from its place. All oceans will be saturated. The land will be destroyed. That people will want the rocks to fall on them. They're going to be hiding from the face of the Lord. Now I got to remember, I lose my place all the time. Yeah, 7:1. Listen to this. After these things, I saw four living angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having seals, the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, and all the tribes of it, the children of Israel, were sealed. I'm not going to go through the tribes, but listen to this. There is six seals that is on the earth. Devastation comes to the earth. There is a judgment that comes upon the earth before the 144,000 are sealed to bring the gospel to the land. There's going to be these six judgments that come into the earth. We're not here. The church is not here. But there is coming this time before the 144,000 begin to witness to the earth. They're going to go out and witness to the Jewish people. They're going to witness to the Jewish people. God is trying to bring the Jewish people back into his arms. You got to remember this is about the Jewish people as well. We're grafted in, the church is gone. But they're going to witness. And they're going to try to bring the fold of the Jewish people in. And that goes through every tribe. The tribe of Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. 12,000 from each tribe. They are already marked. They are already marked. God, they know. If you do not know, they have been trying to establish what tribe each person is from now. I don't know if you know that. The DNA and all this stuff helps that out. But they are establishing what tribe each one's come from. So they know what tribe they're from. Amen? There's like 16 to 17 million Jewish people on the earth today. Okay? So 12,000 or 144,000 out of those people. It's not very many, is it? Verse 9, it says, and these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all the nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands. That's a victory sign with palm branches. It's a victory sign. in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answering said to me, who are these arrayed in white robes and where did they come from? And John said, sir, you know. I mean, how many would have did that, right? John's like, I don't know, but you know, you do know, so tell me. And he said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation washed and washed robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is still active even in the tribulation period. The blood of the Lamb is still activated in the tribulation period. It still washes people clean. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne who dwell among them, they shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Listen to this. These people in the great tribulation that come to the Lord, they are the martyrs, they're standing before the Lord. They have not been discipled like we have. We've been discipled. We glean off the word of the Lord. We drink from the word of the Lord. We have the Spirit of God. These people are going to not realize, but they're going to be martyred for this. They're going to be martyred and go to the heaven. And the Lord Jesus Himself will provide the fountain of water. He will provide the truth for them. He will grow them and guide them. He will shepherd them. It doesn't talk about the church yet. Chapter 8. Getting ready to the seventh seal. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Now we could make a joke about that and say that the men, right? The men are there first, but we won't. Listen to that. Silence in heaven. Could you imagine what heaven sounds like today? The voice of an archangels, the joy of the trumpet of people that's there, our ancestors, our loved ones that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that have passed on, that are with Him in heaven. The angels singing holy, 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 nonstop, day and night. Worthy is the Lamb. Nonstop. But there is silence goes across the heavens for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquakes. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. That's the first set. That's the first set that's coming upon the earth. Devastation to our friends, to our families that don't know Jesus. This should bring us to a place of really wanting to stir up within us to bring our loved ones into the kingdom of heaven. We fight out of this place of victory. We said we get complacent today, and we do as Christians. We're complacent. We're complacent about the people that we come into the Kroger's or Walmart's or Meijer's, or, and we're complacent because we're all about ourselves. We're all about our focus. What do I need for myself? And we forget about the time restraints. We need to forget about the time restraints that we put on ourselves. I need to get back home. I got something to do. I need to take care of myself. And we get to that place where we don't share the good news. We have the Spirit of God within us. We have the fruit of the Spirit within us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. But when we're going to the store, we're on our agendas. We have our own agendas. We're focused on what we have to do. It could be in the workplace. And we sidetrack the people that are in need of the gospel. We sidetrack the people that are in need of the fruit of the Spirit that is in you. Is the fruit of the Spirit for you? Think so? So if you're a tree, and you grow apples, do you eat your apples? Or do I come along and say, man, that apple looks good? The fruit of the Spirit is not for me. The fruit of the Spirit is for everyone in the earth. For me to share what God has placed in me, to give it away. The fruit of the Spirit, yeah, I need it. Do I show it? Do I display it? There's a time coming closer than you think. You will not have an opportunity to share the gospel with your friends, with your loved ones, with your family. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, every opportunity, you always have an opportunity to share the gospel. Tabby said I was too strong. I am that way sometimes. I'm pretty strong. I'm pretty strong on my truths. Just the way God made me. And so I were talking, and he said that I might come. Where do you go to church at? Or where do you preach at? And I said, well, 6th Calvary Temple, 6th Avenue Maple. And he said, you know, I might come visit you. He said, I don't know if I'm going to stay here. And he mentioned the church he was at. And I don't know if I'm going to stay there, but I might just come and visit you. I said, well, I just want you to be aware that we are not like that church. I said, I'm not going to give you some word that will make you feel good. I said, I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm not really going to hold you accountable. I'm going to preach a word that convicts you. That you can't compromise and live in sin. Because he said he had a girlfriend that they were living together and all this stuff. And I said, "You, that's sin." The conversation kind of closed down really quick. Why is that? Because there's too many churches out there saying you just need to feel good. Adrian, you just need to feel good, man. You can do what you want. It's grace, bud. It's grace. Jesus will forgive you. It's okay. Change. You don't have to change, is what the church is teaching. You just have to hear this. What's Osteen say? He says, a better you. Right? I'm going to make you a better you. We are going to make you a better you. We're going to make it a better you through Christ, through the Word, and through truth. Spirit-filled. There can be no compromise. The church today compromises in complacency all the time because it's all about me. It's okay. It's all about me. And we forget that we need to obey the Lord. Listen to this. First, 2 Thessalonians. I just read this morning. Oh, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Chapter 2. I think it's through 4, I think. Let me read here a minute. I was just reading this morning. I just came across this. And it says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us. That he's talking about Paul and his disciples. As though the day of Christ had come. Listen to verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits on God, he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I'm going to go on. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and how, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mysteries of the lawlessness are already at the work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken away. And the lawless, okay. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the brethren of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Then the coming of lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all the power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love, the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them to be a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be commanded or condemned, they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brother. That's not where I wanted to go. I don't think that's where I wanted to go. That's not where I wanted to go. That's not what I seen. Wherever I was looking at, was talking about you just can't live your life the way you want to. That there's going to be many people that will miss it. I don't remember where I was at this morning. My head was everywhere. There's coming a guy that's coming to perdition, great perdition. He's going to pull away the apostasy of the church. People are going to believe the lie that it's about you, to make you feel better. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to repent of your sins. That's a lie. Listen to me. You can pray every day of your life. Come into the church, be at the altar, walk the sanctuary, act like God, imitate God, and have no repentance in your life because you're living in sin. Are you going to make it? Do you want to take that chance? This is what the church is teaching. Feel good about yourself. I'm telling you, you need to obey the word of the Lord. Obey his commandments. Repent when you're wrong. Repent when you're wrong. Repent when you're wrong. When you come into a place of sin, repent. Repentance is what sets you free. It's turning the other way. Changing your mindset. This is what we have to explain to the people around us. Not everybody likes to hear repent. You were wrong. Repent. You are in sin. Nobody wants to hear that. Because you're coming against my character. You're coming against me. You're condemning me. No, I'm not condemning you. I'm saying that sin breaks fellowship. Sin breaks fellowship. Not because I sinned against you. Maybe you sinned against me, and it breaks fellowship. But I'm okay if I sinned against you. I'm religious. While the other person's hurting. The other person's downcast, not understanding why. Who's right or wrong? The one who does not repent or the one that repents? Who's right or wrong? Repentance, unrepentance, which one? Repentance, every time. Every time. It says, repent and be baptized. Repent over and over and over. John the Baptist says, repent. Repent. Why? You got to have that out of you. You'll carry this. If you're holding grudges or you're holding sin against someone right now, I'm going to leave it right here. You're carrying that like a backpack around every day of your life. Every day of your life, you're carrying that. There's a lady at work, young girl. Well, she's my age. She ain't young. I guess she's young. Every day, she walks into that place and she hates this guy. Hates him with a passion. I mean, with a passion. That she does things extra to make him work harder. On purpose. Crazy. Like boxes. We got these big octagon boxes. I'll be done. We got these big octagon boxes and you got to pick them up, put them in a jig. You push an air button and all you got to do is just, you don't even have to work. Fold the box. Take the box out. So, because this person doesn't want to get cardboard or get rid of it when new cardboard comes on the new boxes, right? So, as long as there's a half a bundle of cardboard, he don't have to get rid of the cardboard. So, she gets mad because this guy takes her boxes. What's his boxes too? So, long story short, if there's five boxes on there, she don't want him to have those boxes. She'll go get a new skid of boxes and set them on top of there. So, he'll have to open the bundle and get rid of the cardboard. Now, every day, she walks into that place of work. She's all happy, lucky, but every day she walks in. Oh, I'm going to get that guy. She grabs that backpack, sticks it on her back. Kyle preached a message like this. And he carried this all day long, 8 hours a day. That back, how am I going to get that guy? This is what sin does to you. This is what sin does to you because when you're in sin and you have no repentance, all you ever do is think about that person. All you ever do. Do you think you're going to reach the kingdom of heaven if you cannot forgive the one that you're angry against? The Bible tells us that how can Jesus forgive you if you can't forgive your brother? If you're carrying a backpack today, let us cut the straps off of it so you can never put it back on again. It's different if you just take it off. Let us cut the straps this morning. Let us cut the straps this morning. I'm done. Would you put some music on just for a moment? I'm not going to labor. This is not what the Lord wants. This is more than what I thought the Lord would give me. But the Lord is awesome in everything he does. Because I'm in a downcast spirit this morning. Even Tabby can see it. I've been in a downcast spirit. I've been in a place, not with a baggage, not with nothing on my back or nothing, but just in a place of, have you ever been attacked by the enemy? And you think he's winning? That's the way I feel sometimes. You get in that place of, have you ever been in a fight and you're losing? What stirs within you to say, I'm going to win? Everybody loves watching those shows that the guy is getting beat up or they're losing the game and he gets this fire begin to build within him. Rocky would be another one of those stories. And all of a sudden you hear that eye of the tiger. Somebody needs to get the eye of the tiger in their spirit today. I need to get the eye of the tiger in my spirit today. But I'm in the prayer room this morning and I just, Lord, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you in my life. I need you in my message. I need you in my spirit. I need joy within my heart. And what's he do? He does everything he wants to do when you come a willing vessel for him. When you don't make it about yourself and you become a willing vessel for him, he moves. Now, when I get out of this pulpit today, and the anointing lifts off, I'll start to feel it again. David, he knows. I don't know where he's at, but he knows. But I know my victory comes from him. My victory comes from him. How do we fight, David? With the word. We fight in joy and we fight in victory. Praise him for the victories. Amen. Amen.